Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're talking with Giants general manager Zach Manassian. Zach, I like the predecessor at the president of baseball ops position, Farhan Zaidi, spoke about this seemingly repeatedly after a few of his seasons, which is the Giants need to get more athletic. And then one way or another, it just kind of seems to never happen. So can you speak about where that is, and do you have that as a priority for next year?
Yeah, you know, I think a big part of it is, as a team, it's something we talked about early in spring training, getting more out of the athleticism that we have. So when we look at Ramos, Lee, Chapman, Adames, you know, these are guys, they can run. And so for us to be sitting here, I think we're second to last in stolen bases for the year. You know, those are things that hopefully we can push that issue a little bit, going first to third, scoring from first on a double. Hopefully the athleticism shows up with the defense. It certainly showed up on the left side of the infield, but getting more out of our outfielders' athleticism to improve their defense. So, yeah, it's always going to be something stress as an organization that we want to be as athletic as possible, because I just think it gives you a chance to win games in so many different ways.
A lot of fans are frustrated by the farm system and the development. You've got Bryce, who's close, a bunch of young pitchers who've come and flashed. What would you say to Giants fans about the overall state of the minor league system right now?
Well, I think it's taken a huge jump. Huge credit to Kyle Haynes, Randy Wynn, our PD staff, players like Bo Davidson, Dakota Jordan, younger players like Johnny Lovell, Joshua Gonzalez, so on and so forth. I mean, our San Jose team steamrolled the Cal League, won the championship there. So pretty excited about where it's heading. Pretty excited about some of our draft picks. Gavin Keelan in the first round, Trevor Cohen in the third round, Lorenzo Miola, fourth round, second baseman, center fielder, shortstop. So I think it's taken a huge jump. If I recall correctly, I don't remember if it was Major League Baseball or Baseball America actually had our system taking the biggest jump from last year to the end of this year. So we're heading in the right direction. I'm never going to be one that says, oh, yeah, we got enough talent, we're good to go. We always need to add more. We're always going to be challenging our amateur scouting group, international scouting group, PD, to churn out more and more players. But I think we're in a pretty healthy spot, and we'll just keep working at it to get better.
Zach, Buster said earlier today that he is thankful to have the ownership group that you guys have, because they're always going to be aggressive. I think fans look at Devers and Chapman and Adames and sort of think to themselves, well, that's probably as far as they're going to go in terms of big-name, high-priced type contracts. Is that accurate, or is free agency this offseason are more big contracts at least a possibility?
Yeah, it's tough to say. I would say our ownership group has been extremely supportive from the first day I walked in here, and I feel pretty lucky not only to be in this position, but to be in this position for that group. So, you know, certainly haven't heard no. But also, I think it's important that we become a type of organization that is mixing in younger players, not necessarily to manage payroll as much as to continue to have some youth and to be athletic, and younger players can have a chance to stay healthier. So, So not to say that keeps us out of free agency, but when there is opportunity for younger players, you know, as opposed to going and signing the second baseman, I thought Casey Schmidt grew, and hopefully he gets that opportunity next year. So we'll go into it open-minded, see what our chances are, and continue to work. But the ownership group's been extremely supportive.
Now, Zach, this might feel like a little bit of a weird one, but it's something that's come up on our show today. So broadcasting great Al Michaels was on with us about an hour ago, and you may know this, he does not eat vegetables. He's never had one in his entire life, apparently. And he same with Rams wide receiver Puka Nacua. Neither one of them have ever had a vegetable, and so this has been coming up with every guest so far today. So first, your thought on vegetables, your favorite vegetable, and how much of them do you include in your meals?
Oh, man, if you ask my wife, probably not enough.
Okay.
I am a fan of vegetables. I try to mix them in. I'm hoping to get better. I had some broccoli during lunch today, so I'll go with broccoli. It was actually like a spicy broccoli, so I'm sure the seasoning made it. I was probably playing for the tie there. but I am a fan of vegetables, so I'm in on vegetables.
If you had to DFA a vegetable, designate for assignment, you don't have to eat it ever again, what vegetable would you DFA?
Oh, man. Now we're talking tough ones.
Yep. We ask the hard questions, Zach.
No doubt, look, Zach.
I'll say this. I wouldn't DFA Brussels sprouts, but maybe the most overrated for me.
Wow. Wow.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Definitely sent down.
I know that might not be popular, but that's where we're at.
If a potential free agent sat in a meeting with you guys and was like, I'm not doing vegetables, would you hold it against him?
I'd say I don't do vegetables either if it's talking to a potential free agent.
you're like, me too.
Yep.
Hey, Zach, ton of fun to have you. Before you go, I wonder, I feel like this city, we feel like we know Buster Posey because it's Buster Posey. But we're also getting to know him in a new role, and I wonder what you could share with the audience in terms of what's that like? Like, what is it like to work alongside him? And maybe is there an aspect of that that people wouldn't expect?
Yeah, I mean, look, I have a one-year-old son, and I think I'm fortunate to work with someone where I think he's, if my son grows up to be anything like Buster Posey, I'd be so proud. So I don't know if I can pay him a higher compliment. You know, as far as something maybe fans don't know or see is, you know, Buster, it's funny. He's just the complete package. He's empathetic, but he's a killer. And, he's tough, but he's understanding. He's a strong leader, but he welcomes everybody into that circle. So, you know, there's just so many good qualities about him. And I think something I respect as much as anything is how much this means to him, this organization, this city. And I mean, you guys know he doesn't have to do this. He doesn't need the fame. He doesn't need the money. I think he just loves the Giants. He loves the Bay Area, and he wants to try and give back and build a winner. So I feel very fortunate to work with him.
Love it. Love it. Hey, Zach, I know it's been a busy day. We really appreciate your time. Thank you so much for doing it.
Thanks, guys. My apologies to the Brussels sprouts.
No, that's okay.
No.
Spicy broccoli. I like we're going to give it a whirl. All right, Zach. Thanks so much.
Zach.
Zach Manassian.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
No doubt.
You too. Zach Manassian, GM of the San Francisco Giants spicy broccoli.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
And, great interview. Answered all the questions.
Yeah, he's shied away
from none of them. And
yeah, good dude.
It's great guy. And you're in a spot where, you're three games away. And even the question about, because regret, I don't believe in regret, but your feelings about what you did at the deadline, knowing now that you were just three games away.
Well, I think it's a fair answer, and I don't even know to what level it ended up biting them. But Buster said the same thing earlier today with the same kind of question, which was, you make the best decision you can with the information you have at that time. And who the hell can't relate to that?
Right.
I mean, you do that every day, right? You make the best decision with the available information. And if we go back to the trade deadline, I think most people saw what the Giants were doing, and they're like, yeah, it makes sense. It makes sense.
Yeah, they were 54 and 55 at the deadline.
Yeah.
Having slid down to that spot, and it wasn't looking good.
The one thing that forever will be a mystery to me, and I don't even mean just this team. I mean, I guess all teams. What is it about the dynamic that changes when you kind of mix ingredients, but it's baseball? So in other words, what I'm asking about is the addition of Rafi Devers and why, when it first happened, did it seemingly contribute to the Giants sucking so bad? But then once you gave it a month and a half, then Devers and Adames suddenly look like Devers and Adames. And I think is the core of why a Giants fan could look to next year and go, all right, it's kind of like Jimmy Butler this year. He's so excited that he gets to do this for a full year. And so that will be Devers next year, where you're like, okay, let's do this for a full year. I think our minds in baseball go, dude, you're standing up there, you hit the fastball or you don't hit the fastball. Why does the chemistry all matter? We get it better in basketball. But for some reason, man, it seemed to have that at least temporary negative effect on the team. And then after a while and everybody got their feet wet, then it started to look for at least a moment like you hope it looks at the start of next year.
And also Chapman got healthy and he got hot. Yep, so you had multiple guys get hot, and then Drew Gilbert came up and he's choking people, and all of a sudden you're having a great time. I do think that we in the sports talk business and fans, we lose sight of the human aspect of it. So Devers gets traded and Boston comes to town, and you know, he's right going to maybe play first, and now he's not taking infield, and Will Clark was supposed to meet with him, and there's that controversy, and he's trying to figure out where he's going to live. He's in a hotel, and his family's not here, and go out there and be Rafi Devers in a new league for a new manager with a new everything. I do think that that's harder than we give it credit for, and you look at Willy Adames his first 6 to 8 weeks, and he was patently bad on defense and on offense, and he got comfortable and he got better.
Yeah, it's a good point. The question for me, though, is why does it seems, and maybe it only seems that way, it seems to affect everyone. Like Rafi coming to the team for the moment seemed to affect everyone. And that's like, it's hard to understand. It's hard to understand. And then all of a sudden, for 3 weeks, you couldn't get anybody on the whole team out. And then you could get everybody out again.
Right, right.
You know? I mean, that's the thing. I don't know what it's going to look like next year, but that's where they're at. Okay. 888-957-9570 is the number. Let's circle back. Let's reboot. We're sponsored by Crystal Geyser Alpine Spring Water. What a wonderful run. Al Michaels, Greg Cosell, Zach Manassian. But now we need to start focusing and zeroing in on the fact that the Niners, or portions of them, will play in L.A. in 25 hours against the Los Angeles Rams. No Brock Purdy, no Ricky Pearsall, no Juwan Jennings. And coming up next, I'd like to read to you something that Niners beat reporter Vic Tafer of The Athletic wrote today about the Brock Purdy injury. You're going to need to know this, and we're going to need to talk it out. And so we'll do that coming up next on Willard and Dibs.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly you know what why people it's not, outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a great conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
How does that rule change affect the way you view Patrick as your catcher?
Yeah, no, it's a great question.
Is it possible that Patrick Bailey would abandon being a switch hitter and just focus on being a left-hand hitter?
Man, yeah, it's a good question.
Now, back to
Dillard and Wibbs
on 95.7 The Game.
Look, when you're on fire, you're on fire. I'm not going to apologize for it.
No, I mean, you know what I mean, it's like I had a great Olympics, but you were just a little better. I did my best, and I got the silver medal.
Yeah, but
I'll take it.
But you're 16-3 with your picks. Like, this show has had Al Michaels on it already today. Like,
yep.
Look, when you're rolling, you're rolling. Thank you. When you're rolling, you're rolling. And I don't want you to apologize for a good question, because it wasn't just a good question. He was like, man, it was almost like he was shocked. He's like, man, these two, they just keep firing at me right now. Man.
Yeah. Well, you were sharp because you were at the presser today.
Yeah, and, I was cheating a little bit.
Well, you got a question in, and I thought you were going to run that question back, which was about Dom Smith. It was nuanced.
Asked and answered, yeah.
Yeah, but the Bailey one is something I've been kind of thinking about all year. Like, it's got to be so hard to be a catcher anyway, and now you have to try to maintain two different swings.
Well,
neither one of them's going great.
I thought what he said later, and this was to your Jesus Rodriguez question, was super interesting. I don't know if y'all caught it now, but he said the way I view catcher going forward in the bigs is similar to what you see in the NFL, where almost every team is like, and I know fantasy football hates it, but we're rocking two running backs,
yep,
and we're going to roll them in and out. That's what we're doing. And I thought that was super revealing, because he's telling you he doesn't want Patrick Bailey playing 130 games, 120 games. He doesn't want that. And so I don't know if they want to take switch hitting from him, but in a way they can do it anyway. When you're facing a lefty, maybe they've got a right-handed hitting catcher who has a little bit more presence on the roster than the backup catchers have so far this year. So that's interesting, and I think what you're sort of suggesting, I think, is what they would like to have happen. Rodriguez has got to prove that he can come do it. He's never really played in the big leagues before.
Right, and he hasn't played a ton of catcher either.
Right, but they talked about it early this morning, too. The early returns out of the minors are good as far as Rodriguez and his catching ability.
And the other one was, I asked about the defense and how bad they were this year, and he said, well, yeah, you know, those two guys, we've talked to them, and we all kind of, ooh,
yeah,
those two guys. No, and then he named the two guys.
Lee and Ramos.
Yeah, I didn't even think about Jung-Hoo Lee, but then he explained that he's been a little tentative out there.
That came up this morning, too. Like, they clearly want Jung-Hoo Lee and Elliot Ramos to be better defensive players. And look, if you want to put the puzzle pieces together, because I know a lot of people processed it this way, when Buster Posey fires Bob Melvin, and then in the very next press conference, they ask him what he wants, and he's like, I want someone who is obsessive about the details. It's like, well, you're kind of saying that Bob wasn't then,
exactly.
Right? Right? Well, I think so. And I think that those that you're pointing to are some of those details. It's like, sure, Ramos can hit the ball over the fence. Awesome. Awesome. And Jung-Hoo Lee can have fans in different sections with different nicknames. We can do this, right? Jung-Hoo Crew, Hoo Lee Gans, like, we can do that. But are you taking great routes in the outfield to the fly balls? That's what we want. Obsessive about the details. And so that's what they're looking for. Do you know what's funny? I noticed this about Giants baseball the last 3 years. And this is just the way human beings work, isn't it? You fire Gabe Kapler. Hey, Giants, what do you want? We want the opposite of Gabe Kapler.
Right.
We would like Bob Melvin. Now you fire Bob Melvin. Who do you want? Kind of want Gabe Kapler. And Gabe, you don't want Gabe, because Gabe annoyed everyone because he's over here on Instagram with burgers and thirst traps. But What was Gabe?
Young analytics.
Maniacal about right. the details. No doubt. So it's typical, right? You break up with someone. If you broke up with them because they don't like to go out, what do you want? You want someone who goes out. You broke up with someone who goes out too much, what do you want? I need a homebody. I mean, the Giants want somebody who, they want Bob Melvin and Gabe Kapler to have a baby.
Exactly.
And that's who they want to hire.
They want a mix of, you know, old school with somebody who is good with the details and connects with players. And I do believe that they're going to have an exhaustive search. I also think that they have some candidates in mind. And, you know, you're going to have to just wait and see what shakes out from other teams and start to interview people. And, you know, this is big for Buster because you got to get this right. Bob Melvin was not his hire. He did extend him, and I was going to ask that question, but I do think that was just to kind of calm the waters.
Water
and
under the bridge now, too.
Exactly. Yeah. So, yeah. And whatever money they gave him for the extra year, it doesn't even matter. That's like like an hour of rent down there at Mission Rock.
They'll survive.
Yeah. And they're gonna pull through with that. And so, yeah, you got to go out there and you got to get better in the details. You got to get more athletic. You got to catch the ball, all those things.
By the way, they definitely have a list of candidates, and they didn't start making it this week. No president of baseball operations at any point doesn't have a list. Like, I promise you, Buster made a list before this year even started to be ready for something like this. So when people are like, you know, who's on the list? It's like, dude, I got my list. And oh, by the way, Bruce Bochy's not on it.
Yep.
And I get that. Like, yes, it would have been a ton of fun for us, the fans. But I was thinking about this after this morning when Buster's like, yeah, we're not doing Boch. I was like, yeah, what is still in that dugout or what is still going on with this team that was here when Boch left in 2019? And the answer is the fans.
Logan Webb?
Yeah, like baby Webb.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Like, so there's no carryover here. When you're like, bring him back, it's like, well, is Affelt here? Do you know what I mean? Like, he has no history with any of these players. Devers and Adames don't know Boch. I mean, they might know him. But, you know, so it's like, I think it would have been fun.
Yeah.
It's super alluring, but it's kind of based on a fantasy.
A little bit like Don Nelson coming back to the Warriors.
Right.
When Nelly came back, oh, Nelly's back.
Yeah.
And lasted about a year, and it wasn't, you know, quite what it was the first go-round, and then that was pretty much it.
I think about when Phil Jackson finally got his job back with the Lakers. Whoops. Like, that didn't look the same. Like, oh, I forgot, Shaq's not here anymore. It's probably not going to be the same.
Yeah.
All right, we got this Purdy thing that I need to tell you. 888-957-9570, but real quick, let's talk to Dan in Danville. Hi, Dan. What's going on?
Hey, fellas. I wish you would have asked Manassian that question. It would have been a great, great question. You know what I'm saying?
Which one?
So now we got Buster, the one Dan Dibley was going to ask him about a minute ago. He was going to ask him a question about,
how great of a question would it be? You can't even remember what it is, Dan.
Well, I was being sarcastic because of Manassian.
Anyway, go ahead, Dan. Welcome to the show. What's up?
Oh, thanks, fellas. You know, we got Buster Posey, and you're right. He does have to get it right because he got Devers over here, and the team went south for a lot of reasons, a lot of obvious baseball reasons. Devers really isn't the greatest fit for a team that wants to go to the playoffs. He looks good. It's like more like a softball player. Look at the Red Sox. They're flying right now without him. They saved $280 million. They got two draft picks, and they don't have him for the next 8 years.
Won a World Series with him, yeah. Dan. They won a World Series with him.
That was a long time ago. That was a while ago, no?
Not that long ago.
True. But Devers doesn't seem like the same guy. But moving on to Manassian and Buster got problems. Because Manassian doesn't have the baseball IQ that Buster has. He can't go in the dirt. He can't even fix an outfielder. He's a GM. He can't even go fix Elliot Ramos and Jung Hoo Lee. He has no idea how to do that. Neither does Buster. He can't even do it himself. The problem with Buster is he has to learn 1,200 major league players, 3,500 minor league players. You've got college, Division I college, junior college, the Arizona Summer League, the Dominican Winter League. There's no way he's filtering all these players. So So he's relying on Manassian.
He's got a staff of about 30 or 40 guys.
Yeah, like, Dan, nobody does that by themselves.
Right. That's a tough one, Dan. And you don't know what Zach Manassian knows about outfield defense and baseball. And I do think that was a part of the problem with Bob Melvin and the attention to detail. You had a left fielder who led baseball in outfield errors and a lot of times didn't look like he knew what he was doing, and yet he didn't get better.
Buster said something interesting this morning when somebody, and it might have been Bags, asked him to sort of self-evaluate, and Buster was like, look, the best way I can answer that, because we could get into the weeds and be like, so on Tuesday, I didn't feel at my best. But like what Buster said, it's a bottom line thing. I'm going to self-evaluate based on the idea that I've been here for a year and we did not achieve our goal in year one. So that's like not good. And if you're very bottom line thinking like that, and that's fine, then I think that lends itself to why the Giants ended up being uncomfortable with Bob Melvin. This was the whole conversation all year, right? Is it Bob's fault or the player's fault? And Buster might have arrived at a spot where he's like, it doesn't matter. It's everyone's fault.
Right.
Like, we didn't win. And the left fielder's out there guessing. And the center fielder's taking bad routes. And the catcher's hitting a .180. And is that all Bob's fault? No. But it is also Bob's responsibility. And if we don't get there, then we're going to go into a different direction.
Attention to detail. Yep. Infield fly rule. Raise your hand if you know what that is.
I do.
I think that if that was asked in the clubhouse, I don't know if everyone would answer that they did know it. And little things like that, and third base coach making some challenging and some dubious sends and some holds. That attention to detail.
Yeah.
You didn't run much. You didn't situational hit. You didn't bunt very well or at the right times a lot. So all these little 90-feet mistakes, I think, is what... When you look at the Giants, when I look at the Giants, 81 and 81, I look at a lot of 90-foot mistakes that were made. Hitting to the right side to move a guy to third with nobody out, not hitting a sack fly, not making the right throw to the right base, all those little baseball-y things. And when you're playing in a pitching and defense park, you've got to be so baseball-y in those ways because you're not going to hit 250 home runs every year.
There's no question. It's kind of like, and I know they didn't end up being very good either. They also sold at the deadline. But like when you watch the Diamondbacks play, watch the way that team, because I know they had some really good players, statistically or whatnot, but like that's not an overwhelming roster. But boy, they annoy the hell out of you, don't they? Because they take the extra base. They seem very athletic. They're fast. They're scoring from second base. I know this organization, for example, respects the hell out of Wilmer Flores, and he was a wonderful Giant. But no, we're not doing that anymore. We're not doing it. There's a runner at second, you get a base hit to the outfield, and he might make it to third. Like we can't.
If it's hit to right, maybe.
Yes, you can't play baseball like this anymore.
Yeah.
You just can't do it.
Second to last in stolen bases, you committed the fourth most errors, and you gutted your bullpen at the deadline. So... You do all those things, you're going to find your way into not making the playoffs, even though you were three games away.
Yeah, so close.
Yep.
888-957-9570. All right, let's get back to Brock Purdy's out tomorrow night. I know Pearsall and Jennings are too, but I really think that this is the rub right now with San Francisco 49ers. Game tomorrow night, Brock won't play. I want everybody to listen to this. And then what we would love to fill up our phone lines with are opinions from all of you on how the 49ers should play this going forward. We can have a conversation if you want that looks backward. It's not my favorite thing to do. But if you want to yell at the 49ers for playing him last week, go right ahead. Dibs and I don't necessarily agree with you. I think you got to roll the dice sometimes in life. Brock felt good. He was the healthier QB. I don't really understand why you wouldn't play him. Based on this idea of, well, you got to preserve him, which it's like, I don't even know how you do that in football. I don't know how you preserve someone. So I was all in on Brock playing last week. Yes, he's now hurt, and he will miss this very key Thursday night game in L.A. But listen to this, and this is courtesy of our friend Vic Tafer, who is a Niner beat writer for The Athletic. I want you to listen to this paragraph, and then 888-957-9570, we'll take your calls right now. How would you like the 49ers to play this going forward? Check this out. He writes, Purdy is not healthy enough to be the team's emergency backup in L.A. tomorrow night. So he will not be the one, he will not be the two, and he will not be the three. He is not healthy enough to be the emergency backup tomorrow night, which underscores that his sprained big toe was worse than it seemed coming out of Sunday's loss to the Jaguars, and that the 49ers are leery of it becoming a recurring issue this season. They are entering a rough stretch on their schedule, especially for someone dealing with a sore toe. And here's what he means by that. Not just the opponents. Tomorrow night, turf. Then you get a week and a half off in a game on grass in Tampa, and then a home game against Atlanta, grass. But then you go to Houston, turf, and then guess what you do the week after that?
Oh, no.
Oh, you visit MetLife Stadium.
The House of Horrors.
In New Jersey. The worst playing surface in all of sports.
New Orleans. I would say New Orleans is worse.
Doesn't the data put it at MetLife?
I'd have to look at injuries.
The injury
per
data.
Stadium,
yeah.
But
that's those are the ones that have the really bad rep, though.
Yeah.
Okay.
And they don't call it grass toe. They call it turf toe. You just had me thinking about that. Oh, I got a bad case of grass toe.
Yeah. It'd be like, is your toe high? Like,
totally.
What is grass toe? Anyway, if you elevate Adrian Martinez from the practice squad tomorrow, which is expected, you're not allowed to do it again. You have to keep him on the roster the rest of the year, which obviously is not going to happen because Mac Jones and Brock Purdy are the quarterbacks of this football team. So you're going to have a revolving door potentially at backup. So riddle me this, Niner fans. 888-957-9570. How would you like the Niners to play this? And I think that the options on the table are, look, gut it out, you play in Tampa, and see what you get. Or do you want to sit here right now at 3-1 and say to yourselves, hey, Mac Jones can at least keep you in this until the bye. I think the bye comes week 10, am I right?
I thought it was later than that.
Oh, you might be right. Actually, it might be even later.
I've got it at week 14.
Week 14. Okay.
You got 13 games until you get the bye, and then four after.
Okay. All right. So, yes, because after that game at MetLife, they come home for the Rams. They go to Arizona. They come home for Carolina on a Monday night. That's Thanksgiving week. Then they go to Cleveland. Then they get the bye. But would you like to push this? Roll the dice? No risk it, no biscuit? Or is it, let's just give Mac, I don't know, a month. Do you want to give Mac October? And then see if in that month of October, which holds four football games, I think most rational people think tomorrow is going to be really hard to win. So let's pretend you come out of tomorrow 3-2, but then the rest of the month of October is going to, in theory, you're going to get some receivers back. You might get Kittle back. You might make a trade on defense. And then you'd have three more games, Tampa, Atlanta, and Houston. Can maybe Mac go 2-1 in those? And then you would come out of there, 5-3? And again, this is all so hypothetical.
Totally.
But can Mac win a game or two there and you finish essentially the first half of the season still in the picture and then you've got Brock Purdy in theory feeling a lot healthier? I don't know. And obviously there's a middle ground to this too, but I don't know how you want to play this thing.
Oh, I want to play it one game at a time, of course, and tomorrow will not be Brock Purdy. And then you've got 10 days until Tampa. And if Brock is good enough to go like he was against Jacksonville, I play him. You play him against Tampa.
Yeah.
Because if you lose to the Rams tomorrow and that spread is 7.5 and the money is making it seem like it's going to creep to 8 before we get off the air, and it may go higher than that or it may stick and stay. Who knows where it goes, but you're heavy dogs. It's already at 8.
got an update.
It
just hit eight.
Okay. And that's,
at least in one book.
Sure.
Yes.
And we usually use DraftKings, right, as our book du jour, or book
or
of FanDuel, choice, whichever
FanDuel,
one.
Yeah.
Fine. Either way, you're heavy underdogs. And if you want to look ahead to Tampa Bay, I would bet you're already 3.5 or 4 point dogs in that one pending Brock Purdy. So,
sure.
You know, you might play all of October and go 0-4. Now you're 3-5, and okay, here comes Brock. He's ready to go. Ooh, you're in New York on the worst turf in football, and the toe is going to be a thing for probably a lot of the year. Turf toe just doesn't magically go away, so I don't know. I wouldn't wait until November, because your season might be just about over by then.
Well, it could be. Super interesting, by the way. FanDuel currently still has the Rams at 7.
Okay.
But the book that I often use has the Rams going up to 8. So it'll fluctuate. You know what that is.
Yeah, it's a fluctuation
sensation.
Cha-ching!
And by the way, Tim Roy on the show tomorrow, right here on Willie and Dibby. But
DraftKings
anyway.
Is at 7.5. Yeah. John Avello, friend of the program. Yep. So, you know, and it's just moving depending on where you shop, but it's moving in a direction where money's coming in on the Rams.
Yeah, of course.
Coming in hot.
Of course. The Niners, like, the perception is they've got no players tomorrow, and it's not a completely incorrect perception. All right, so what do you want the Niners to do here? Taylor in Petaluma, thanks for the call. You're on Willard and Dibbs. Hi, Taylor.
Hey, what's up, fellas?
What's going on?
Hey, so my thoughts are, you know, if Brock's healthy enough to play, he's got to go. You know, he's got to play. Whether we can blame the last game on his toe or just simply airmailing throws like our boy Jimmy Garoppolo did, then that is what it is. But if Brock's not healthy, we got to ride Mac. We got no receivers healthy. We got KB drops as our wide receiver one. So dink and dunk down the field with Christian McCaffrey and Jake Tongas and see what happens. Play some good defense, you know?
Yeah, I mean, super tough assignment. Taylor, thanks very much.
So you're going to dink and dunk against a really good defense, and you're not able to run the ball. And I was looking at some of the advanced metrics earlier, and Brock is 18th in football in air yards. Mac Jones is 26th. So you go from a guy who doesn't air it out in Brock Purdy through two games to a guy who airs it out even less with a receiving core that isn't that accomplished in this offense and a team that can't run the ball?
I look at it the other way,
yikes.
Actually. Yikes is right.
Yep.
But I look at it differently in terms of how to go about doing this. Sometimes when everybody thinks you're going to zig, you got to zag. Especially when you're in a nothing to lose underdog situation. So y'all want to dink and dunk? No, don't do that. Well, I mean, Greg Cosell just told us if there's a weakness for the Rams defense, it's their corners. Now, I want the ball out of Mac Jones's hands. I don't want him holding the ball back there. It's actually his bugaboo, and the Rams pass rush is really, really good. But I would not be afraid to, dude, huck it down the field a time or two if you can. You're going to need some quirky big plays to happen if you're going to win this game. And by the way, DeMarcus Robinson, I love him. He's an underrated player in this league, and he is somebody who can stretch downfield. Dude, that's actually your – I think he plays the role, if you will, of wide receiver one tomorrow, even though it's only his second game. That's the guy who I want to be the focus of the passing game. Tongas has shown that he can do some things, but like – dude, you got nothing to lose. So no dink, no dunk. Let's play football. And if you get sacked and you fumble and you lose the game, you get sacked and you fumble and you lose the game.
I mean, Mac Jones may not survive the game.
Well,
if you're talking about a young, elite Ram defensive front and a 49er offensive line that has struggled at times in run blocking and pass blocking. So unless you want to go max protect and just send two or three guys down the field, then Mac Jones is going to be in a lot of trouble if you're going to try to seven-step drop it and air one out.
No, I'm not talking about seven-step drop. Again, I want the ball out of his hands, but I don't want the whole thought process to be all my throws are within 3 yards of the line of scrimmage. Like, come on, let's ride. These guys are fast. Throw it down the field.
Yeah.
You can do a three-step drop and still throw the ball down the field.
Yeah,
I'm
sure.
Not asking for him to hold it back there, but like, what do you get to lose? Everybody already thinks you're going to lose the game.
Right. I mean,
don't get him killed. That's not what I'm saying.
That's what you have to lose.
That's what I'm not saying that.
Of course.
There's a risk of that anyway. You're playing a football game.
Of course.
They're going to come get you now.
They are, but if you can, you know, dink and dunk and get the ball out of his hands faster, that's going to give you a better chance to keep him upright.
Well, we're brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. 888-957-9570. How do you want the Niners to play this Purdy thing going forward? He's not even good enough to be the three tomorrow. And the injury is being called worse than it seemed coming out of Sunday. Niners worried about it being a recurring situation. We'll take your calls right now on Willard and Dibs.
At Maurice's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Maurice's.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We hate them. They don't pass the eye test. They certainly don't pass the smell test. They don't look very good. It's a meet or bust.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Kind of jealous. You know, like, I eat vegetables. I eat a lot of vegetables.
Yeah.
It's actually kind of making a rule that I try to mix them in with every single meal, even breakfast. It's not a drip. It's vegetable.
It's a little bit of a veggie flex. Like, what's your Mount Rushmore of vegetables?
It's a meat or bust.
Yeah, actually, Mount Veggie more.
Okay, so that's four. Four.
We hate them.
Yeah, you've got Washington, Lincoln, Roosevelt, and
they don't look very good.
That other guy.
Okay, yeah,
Jefferson.
So,
they don't pass the eye test. They certainly don't pass the smell test.
Well, it depends. Okay, zucchini.
Yeah, we hate
okay.
them.
Sauteed spinach.
We hate them.
Okay.
Asparagus.
We hate them.
And
trying to lay out for Grandy. He's on his game.
The fourth one is tough, but I'm gonna say green beans now.
We hate them.
No, I'm gonna do it. But I'm leaving out two that I actually probably eat more of, but they don't qualify because they're just like the little, they're like the standbys that are just always there. They're there because I've got kids, and the kids will eat these, and they're easy, which is carrots and cucumbers.
We hate them.
We hate them. They're great for a hummus tray.
We hate them.
You don't like hummus, Al?
It's a meat or bust.
Or what about pita chips? You can eat hummus without vegetables. So anyway, yeah, those are my four.
Okay.
Those are my four. That's the rotation.
Yeah. I would add artichoke in there.
Yeah.
Zucchini and broccoli. And
we hate them.
I know, Al.
Oh, did I leave broccoli out?
We hate them.
I got to redo my list.
Sauteed spinach, which
we hate them.
Yeah, I know. I'm not against it. And the other one I would throw in, but I don't want the veggie police to come down my road because cucumber, it's a fruit. Technically.
Oh, here we go.
And this is where tomatoes also a fruit?
I know.
Al, do you like tomatoes?
Because they got the seeds or the whatever. Yeah. Like, whatever.
More like cucumber, am I right, Al?
Okay.
Leave the jokes in here.
Granny, you're supposed to play the drop.
I thought you said get ready for the drip, so I went over the water drop.
No, you guys are great.
Anyway.
They don't look very good.
I'm jealous of them.
There
are some of you maniacs out there. I know this is a thing. Is it a European deal or whatever? But y'all keep your salad to the end? What are you doing?
Yeah, it's European.
Okay, I hate them. No, the vegetables go first, and not because I'm like going up the staircase because that's the way it's supposed to be. The vegetables go first because I believe in you save the best for last. I eat the vegetables
Vanessa
first.
Williams.
I want to get that. Get them out of the way. Get them out of the way so that I can do some meat and potatoes.
Yeah.
Okay?
It's a meat or bust.
As a kid, it was you can't leave the table till you eat your vegetables.
Yeah.
I'd save them for last and go with the hackneyed cover one with the napkin. Try to go for the duck and cover. And like the napkin just happens to be in one portion of the plate. Sue wasn't buying it. I'd cry.
Yeah,
Jude, it was the whole thing.
Jude tries the whole, oh, I just suddenly got full. You didn't get full, and you can't throw them on the ground and let the dog eat them. My dog is the Al Michaels of dogs. She does not want a vegetable.
No?
No.
It's a meat or bust.
We gave her a green bean. She chew it, spit it out.
They don't pass the eye test.
If a dog won't eat it, what are we doing?
They certainly don't pass the smell test.
So, anyway, I get it. I'm a little jealous of Al because Al is rocking it.
Yeah.
How old is Al?
He's 81 coming up.
He's 81 right. And he's traveling the country working and sounds great.
No doubt.
We hate him.
So,
my mom was the same about the accidental spill. If you went with the accidental spill of the Brussels sprouts, yeah, it's a paddling. That's going to draw.
You're going to wash them.
That's
going to
be
anyway.
A straight red card. Sue's going to give you straight red.
Yeah. So anyway.
Anyhow.
But I'll eat them. I think you're supposed to. Just because Al's living great at 81 doesn't mean everybody does.
True.
If you skip the vegetables.
And I was thinking about the late, great 49er Bob St. Clair. I don't know if you ever got a chance to meet him or interview him.
No,
but
I did not meet or interview
his
him.
His bit was raw meat.
Yeah, I don't think
he would just,
it's a meat or bust.
He would just like take a steak and eat it.
I don't think you're supposed to do that.
He had a good long life too now.
Well, no,
but
yeah,
that was his thing. Like,
now, my dog did that. I defrosted steaks a few months ago and she got them.
Oh, God.
And it was one of them Costco flats.
That's a scoop and score right
Dude,
there.
It was five big. Yes.
That's $70.
Well. It wasn't that cut of meat, but yes.
Fine.
It was, whatever. It was a lot.
Yeah.
But that wasn't my first thought. My first thought was, yo, dog, are you okay?
That's going to be a no from you, dog.
Right. So you Google it, and it actually turns out dogs can consume and digest raw meat. So she was okay. However, she did barf multiple times over the next 48 hours, and
we hate him.
Here's where the kind of godfather of it all kind of comes in. There were five steaks. She ate four of them and put the fifth one in my son's bed.
What?
Everyone's like, whoa, Penny ate the steaks. And then it was an hour later that Abe gets to his bed and he's like, hey, gross. What is this? We're all run downstairs. What's going on? There's a steak on his pillow.
It's a meat or bust.
Jude, you're going to sleep with the fishes tonight. You better watch your back. You didn't take me for a walk yesterday.
Little did we know, we just need to invite Al over. Al's like, I'll take care of that.
Yep.
Just hand me the steak. Anyway, 888-957-9570.
Perfect. How do you want to play it? And I said it with Purdy. If he's healthy in 10 days, and healthy, this is where we got into it with Steiny and Goo today in the crossover.
Yeah,
because he's not going to be 100% for the rest of the year. The toe is not going to ever be like, oh, my toe is fine. I don't think, unless you sit him a month, like
maybe
you said.
Maybe it will be.
Sit him a month,
I have no
and
idea.
Then maybe the toe gets to 96%. Okay, then you play him, and he stubs it. You're 3-5, and now the toe's back down to 71%. So if you're good enough to go out there and function and perhaps win, and I look at the game against Jacksonville, he wasn't great. He was patently bad by rating his seventh worst game as a starter, yet he had the ball. With a chance to go 70 yards, actually
totally.
50 yards by the time they got the first play,
mm-hmm.
and he fumbled. And when he fumbled, that wasn't because of the toe, in my opinion. It's because they didn't block, and Eric Armstead went go-go gadget arm and reached with his 6'7" frame and just poked it away.
He didn't protect the ball. Yeah.
Right. And so was that the toe? That, to me, was not the toe. That was the pass pro, not the toe, and that's just the way that one went.
Totally. I mean, that's like, look, all of this stuff, this idea that, A, anybody out there in the NFL is feeling good at any point or fully healthy. Secondly, like, here's the example I'd give you. Those of you who are like, just give Purdy a month. I know exactly how you would answer. How the hell do you know that he's going to feel good in a month? So what do we always hear about calves and hamstrings? It's tricky, right? Yep. All right.
So, calves are hard.
All right. So in 10 days.
Got to be delicate with those calves.
What's going to happen in 10 to 11 days? I'm pretty sure the 49ers have another game. Guess who's eligible to play in it? George Kittle. Should they play him? He might feel good. Should they play him? Are y'all lining up to rip them if they play him and he re-injures his hamstring, which there is zero way to predict? Like, the conversation happened with Steiny and Goo largely because of someone that they had come on air, and he comes on all the time, and he's a wonderful analyst.
Oh, he's awesome.
He does a great job, but I thought today he was being unfair. Ross Tucker comes on Steiny and Goo and says this about the Brock Purdy re-aggravation sensation.
You know, Mac Jones was playing well. They were winning those games. Purdy's your big money guy. You know, there are medical competitive advantages and disadvantages in the NFL. And, you know, if they put Purdy back and he aggravated it, now he has to miss a gigantic game against the Rams. That is not good. You know, you need to trust your medical people when they say he can go out there and be fine and not make it worse, not re-aggravate it. He's good to go. Clearly, that wasn't the case. So, you know, I don't know if you blame the player, the organization, the trainers, the doctor, all the above, but clearly, you know, he wasn't 100% and didn't play like a guy that was 100%. And now I don't think he'll play tomorrow night. You put all that stuff together, I think that's a bad look for the 49ers.
Yeah, I totally disagree. And then he continued this on the, is there an injury issue with the 49ers?
Yes, I do. I mean, there are certain teams that it just feels like they have more injuries than other teams, seemingly on an annual basis. There's no question that they've had injury issues. It's interesting because the Eagles had some success in 17, 18, 19. They were still winning divisions or going to the playoffs, but they had a bunch of injuries. I mean, they won the Super Bowl with like 15 guys on IR. They made some changes in the way they go about things, and they have been extremely healthy the last 3 years.
Yeah, they've been extremely healthy. And that means that, what, that the 49ers are neglecting the appropriate amount of caution and training and the rest of it? It's hard for me when you deal with injuries like Nick Bosa, torn ACL, Juwan Jennings, broken rib, or whatever it is. Ricky Pearsall, that's a little different because he does have an injury history of little knick-knack annoying ones. I want to go back to the first comment, though, that he made, and think about this upcoming Sunday, because Lamar Jackson's got a hamstring, and we don't know for sure that he's not going to play. They're taking it day by day. At some point, Lamar Jackson is going to return to play, and if the hamstring gets worse, if he pops that thing, and now he misses for a month or so, are we going to say the same things about Baltimore? They're 1-3. There's going to be a point where he's going to have to go back out there.
Going to have to push it.
Jaden Daniels has been cleared to play on Sunday. Yep. He's missed two games with a sprained knee. If he goes out there and re-sprains the knee, what are we going to say about Washington? And did they rush him back and all the rest of it? If Lamar Jackson's healthy enough to play, I don't think he will be this weekend, but let's just say it's soon, then he's healthy enough to play. And Jaden Daniels, he seems to think he's good to go on Sunday with a sprained knee, so he's going to play. And that's just the way every team looks at it and the way every team approaches it.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, an Odyssey sports station and the home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries, always live on the free Odyssey app, coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.